Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's Unicorn Cash Time on 92.9. Every hour, weekdays from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. And right now.
Text the word TILE, T-I-L-E, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. You have until 5 o'clock. Text TILE, T-I-L-E, to 72881. You can text TILE, T-I-L-E, to 72881. And you have until 5 o'clock to win your $1,000. Text TILE to 72881. Good luck. Next, we're coming up at 5 o'clock here on the Gary Parrish Show.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
All right, I'm here. My name is Gary Parrish. I'm speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Brad Carson's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles. No disruptions.
Daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you're the type who likes good recruiting news related to the University of Memphis men's basketball program, because we have some. Boogie Ellis is in town for an unofficial visit right now. Lester Quinones is expected to commit to the Tigers tomorrow. Going to get into both of those things momentarily. But first, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420, John Martin is co-host of Jason and John, weekdays from 11 to 2. Covers the University of Memphis men's basketball program for The Athletic. Used to be with Cookie. Now he's with Sam. He's basically the fourth recruiter of the Memphis basketball staff. Going to join me in about 20 minutes. We'll talk Memphis basketball recruiting with John Martin. When I finish that segment, I'll do four notable stories, 444, at which point I will discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Kevin Durant has been ruled out of Game 6 of the Warriors-Rockets series with a calf injury suffered last night. Golden State is now a 7.5-point underdog in that Game 6. The Warriors have never been this big of an underdog in any playoff game under Steve Kerr. As predicted, the Bucks handled the Celtics no problem last night. Kyrie Irving was terrible again. It was probably his final game with the Boston Celtics. Get into that a little later on this hour. Two more playoff games tonight. Sixers and Blazers, both at risk of being eliminated from these playoffs. We'll talk about that just before 5 o'clock. And the Lakers coaching search is just as dumb as UCLA's coaching search. Can anybody in L.A. do a proper coaching search?
I don't think so.
Doesn't appear so. No. It doesn't appear so. Give you the details on that during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always, that I will eventually do dinner to go and get out of here. So that's the rundown. We've got a lot to get to, but I want to start with Boogie Ellis, because the four-star combo guard from San Diego, California, is on an unofficial visit to the University of Memphis right now. I was told he was on a direct flight from Las Vegas to Memphis this morning, landed, and is now spending the afternoon on campus. Some background on him. He was in town for Memphis Madness, so he has been to Memphis before. And like I said, he's a 6'2 combo guard, four-star prospect. He is a consensus top 40 player in the class of 2019. After visiting Memphis for Memphis Madness, he eventually also visited Duke and committed to Duke, signed a national letter of intent with Duke. But last week, to Mike Krzyzewski's credit, Duke announced that they were releasing him from his national letter of intent. It's not because Duke decided they did not want him or he wasn't good enough. It's because Boogie Ellis asked for a release from that national letter of intent. And with little hesitation, if not no hesitation, Duke said, we'll do the right thing and we'll release you from that national letter of intent. So good on Coach K and his staff. Either way, Boogie Ellis was back on the market, and very quickly. I think Evan Daniels was the first one to put it out there, but very quickly, in recruiting circles, it became known that Memphis was going to be a serious player in this re-recruitment of Boogie Ellis. And as of this moment, over 24/7 Sports, the recruiting analysts have put down, who have put down crystal ball predictions, 61% of them believe that Boogie Ellis will eventually commit to and enroll at the University of Memphis. That commitment would be expected by most to come down at some point over the next week. So that'll be a massive get. And the fact that it could come on the heels of Lester Quinones committing to the University of Memphis tomorrow would be an example of Penny Hardaway and his staff in a matter of a week. Again, if this goes down the way it looks like it's going to go down, securing commitments from two top 50 prospects in the class of 2019 who have no natural connection to the city or even the region. And that has always been the question about, you know, how great of a recruiter would Penny Hardaway and his staff actually be on a national level? Can they actually bang heads with John Calipari and Duke outside of Memphis? Because everybody agreed right from the jump, even before Penny was hired, he's going to clean up in Memphis. Like, he's got all these connections to these players. He's an icon in the city. It's going to be hard to beat Memphis on a Memphis player that Memphis prioritizes now that Penny Hardaway is the coach. And from the day he was hired to this moment, nobody's beaten him on a player with Memphis connections that Memphis has prioritized. He's literally gotten a commitment from every single Memphis area player that he prioritized. But the larger question was, okay, yeah, we've seen that they can get involved with five-star guys, four-star guys outside of the city, outside of the region, but can you actually beat a Kentucky for one? Can you actually beat a Kansas for one? Can you actually go outside of the region and secure top 50 players? And it appears, barring major surprises, we will have answers to that question as soon as tomorrow, but maybe two answers to that question within the next week. And the answers will be yes and yes. You get a commitment tomorrow from Lester Quinones. That is one example of Penny and his staff going outside of the region to get a commitment from a heralded prospect. You back that up with a commitment from Boogie Ellis. That's another example of Penny and his staff going outside of the region to get a commitment from a heralded player. And if it leads, all of that leads to a commitment at some point from five-star forward Precious Achiuwa, well, then we're talking about something that looks like the number one recruiting class in America. It would be a remarkable development to go from being a high school coach slash grassroots coach who some people were questioning whether this was too big of a jump. To go from there to the head coach at your alma mater at a place like the University of Memphis, to before you even coach one game in your second season, secure something with both local and non-local players that looks like the number one recruiting class in America, it would be an incredible, incredible story. And so the question becomes, is that really what they're going to do? And I think the answer is yes, that is what they're going to do. Again, the crystal ball predictions for Lester Quinones are 100% University of Memphis. I suppose every recruiting analyst that works for 24/7 Sports could be wrong.
That would be crazy.
But it would be crazy, but they're not usually wrong. Like, these guys are, you know, they tend to be all over the place sometimes throughout a recruiting process. But by the time we get this close to a scheduled announcement, way more often than not, the analysts who are good at their jobs know where these kids are going. If 100% of them connected to 24/7 Sports say that Lester Quinones is going to announce for Memphis tomorrow, I'm going to assume that that is the way it's going to go. And I think they'll get Boogie Ellis too.
Wow.
Whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or some point next week, I think they'll get Boogie Ellis too. And here's why. A, again, 61% of the recruiting analysts connected to 24/7 Sports believe that's the way that's going to go. But B, he's on an unofficial visit to the University of Memphis right now. And let me tell you why that's important. He's already been here. This is not a place he needs to see in the sense that I haven't seen it yet. So, like, I'm considering Memphis now that I've decommitted from Duke, been granted a release from Duke. I'm considering Memphis. They really want me, but I need to go see the place. He's already seen the place. He's been here. And unofficial visits are different than official visits in the sense that on official visit, it's all paid for. Your flight, your Uber, your hotel, your meals, everything comes out of the university's pocket. Unofficial visit comes out of your pocket, unless rules are being broken, but it's got to come out of your pocket. Now, there is decades of evidence that rules are broken in this way all the time. Like,
It does happen on occasion.
It does happen on occasion where families are compensated to cover their expenses unofficial visits.
But it's supposed to be the family is fronting the money. That's why they call it unofficial.
Well, not even fronting the money. The family has to pay for it.
They pay for everything from soup to nuts.
Yes. Yeah. Now, like, there was one family, and I won't mention the player was, but the player was poor. I mean, like, impoverished. Very poor. From the poorest parts of one of the poorest cities in America, this kid was. Not Boogie Ellis. This other kid I was talking from several years ago. And I think one day when I was working on a story about this prospect, I counted he had been on like 7 unofficial visits, like all over the country. And it was like, how does that family go on, pay for 7 flights, 7 hotels, 7 cars, 7 weekends of meals? Mm-hmm. Like, where does that money come from? It's literally impossible for them to pay. They are a poor family from one of the poorest parts of one of the poorest cities in America.
Yeah.
Quite clearly, those unofficial visits were being paid for by somebody. And so that does happen. I'm not going to be naive.
Sure.
But according to the rule book, you got to pay for an unofficial visit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think the fact that Boogie Ellis is here on an unofficial visit is evidence that he plans on committing to the University of Memphis, because it would be, for lack of a better word, dumb and a waste of money for you to decommit from Duke, make it clear to most people you want to be settled on a school within the next week, and then come out of your pocket for a flight, for whatever hotels, for whatever cars, for whatever meals. Like, it could be well over $1,000.
Oh, gosh. That's an expensive trip.
It could be an expensive trip.
With the airfare and everything.
So it would make no sense whatsoever for you to come out of your pocket to go visit a place you've already been, unless you wanted to just go sit down one more time, talk it through one more time, and then follow the whole thing up with a commitment to the University of Memphis. It would be a waste of money. It would be a waste of time. Mm. I do not believe Boogie Ellis and his family are coming out of their own pocket for an unofficial visit to Memphis without, before they even got on that plane, knowing, barring something happening, they're going to eventually commit, sign with, and enroll at the University of Memphis. And when I had Keith Easterwood on earlier this week, he had said he had talked to the Memphis staff in general terms about recruiting. Like, how is this class of 19 thing going to shape up in the end? Mm. And what Keith said he was told is that they're involved with a handful of players, and those players have, the names have been out there for a while now.
Okay.
It is Boogie Ellis, it's R.J. Hampton, it's Precious Achiuwa, it's Trendon Wofford, it's Rayshon Tucker, and it is Lester Quinones.
Okay.
Those are the 6. And Keith said he was told the staff feels comfortable they're going to get 3 of those 6.
Wow.
At this moment, I think the most likely scenario would be that the 3 are Lester Quinones tomorrow, Boogie Ellis at some point over the next week, and Precious Achiuwa at some point. And again, depending on how people calculate it, that could very well end up being the number one recruiting class in America, highlighted by 2 5-star prospects who would both be projected top 10 picks in the 2020 NBA draft. That's James Wiseman and Precious Achiuwa. It would make Memphis, I think, a consensus preseason top 10 team in America. Talk to John Martin about it next.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
On everything I love. This ain't a wave or a phase, because all that fades.
The Mother's Day is this weekend, so you waited this long, you probably, well, you haven't waited too long, but you're pushing up against it. Get to berries.com. Go ahead and order Sherry's Berries for that special mother in your life. It's a convenient gift. It's an affordable gift. It's a delicious gift. These berries are incredible, gigantic, topped with chocolate chips, pink shimmer sugar, and swizzles. They're always fresh, always delicious. They ship anywhere in this country. You pick the delivery date. That's when they're going to be delivered. You don't have to go to a store. That's what makes this convenient. I'm not asking you to drive somewhere. I'm just asking you to go into the same smartphone that you're going to be messing around with anyway. Get on a laptop. You can make the order. It takes just a couple of minutes. It's at berries.com. They start at $19.99 plus shipping and handling. And if you use the code PARISH, you can double the berries for just $10 more. I would advise that you do that. Remember, Mother's Day is Sunday. So don't put this off any longer. Go to berries.com, click the microphone, enter the code PARISH at the checkout. It's BERRIES.com, BERRIES.com. Then click the microphone, enter the code PARISH, and you'll be real close to getting Sherry's Berries at berries.com. Talk NBA in the next segment. Kevin Durant got a calf injury. It's going to keep him out of Game 6, almost certainly keep him out of Game 7. That's bad news for the Warriors, who are suddenly in a place where they're going to have to rely on the old school Warriors of Steph, Clay, and Draymond. Again, talk about that. Nothing but NBA in the next segment. Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock. But right now, he's my little buddy, co-host to Jason and John, covers the Memphis men's basketball program for The Athletic. Used to French kiss Cookie, now he does it with Sam's. John Martin making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey there, little buddy. How you doing today?
What up, what up, what up?
So, lots of Memphis recruiting stuff to get to. Boogie Ellis on campus visiting the University of Memphis today. Flew in this morning from Las Vegas on a direct flight. Tomorrow, Lester Quinones expected to commit to the University of Memphis, which could be the key to getting Precious Achiuwa. Let's start there. If I told you right now Memphis is going to secure commitments from Lester Quinones tomorrow, Boogie Ellis at some point over the next week, and eventually also Precious Achiuwa, would you say, GP, that's true? Or would you say, GP, that sounds like a lie?
I'd say, GP, that's true.
I think that's true. And that's an incredible recruiting class.
Yeah, it's an incredible recruiting class. And it's also not going to end up being the number one recruiting class, which is insane to consider.
How could you be so sure of that?
Well, because everybody's saying Kentucky's going to have the number one recruiting class. Like I saw Evan Daniels say today that if they get this kid that reclassified, because all these kids reclassify now. That's the thing. It's like, you know, this kid named Johnny Juzang, I think is his name. He reclassifies into 2019. He's probably going to Kentucky. And then Evan thinks that Jaden McDaniels, who's a top five kid, is going to Kentucky as well. So that will give Kentucky the number one recruiting class.
Well, how about this? How about this then? Why doesn't Penny just go take one of them like he did with DJ Jeffers?
He probably will. Penny's already shown he can just go take a scholarship problem.
Penny has already proven he can just go take players from John Calipari. Why not just go take one? Why not just go take both of them?
No, in the same recruiting cycle, he's taking players from Cal and Mike Krzyzewski.
See?
I mean, who else can say? I mean, has that ever happened in the same recruiting class?
I mean, the answer is I don't know, but my secondary answer would be I wouldn't think so. I mean,
to go flip
two guys who were committed to Naismith Memorial Hall of Famers, arguably the two biggest basketball programs in America, and undeniably the two best recruiters of student athletes in the sport, to take a player from each of them before you've ever coached your first game of your second season is pretty incredible.
No, it is. It's great. And, you know, listen.
Now, in fairness on Boogie, it was letting him out of an intent, you know, his letter of intent. So that's a little different.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like Penny was, like, actively recruiting the kid while he was gone. I mean,
boy, the
Duke,
the Duke fans tweet me, say that Penny was recruiting him off the whole time.
Oh.
That's what they're tweeting.
I can unequivocally confirm that is untrue.
Okay.
I don't want to go into too much detail. I can maybe tell you off the air. But I can unequivocally tell you that Penny Hardaway was not recruiting Boogie Ellis.
Boy, when I tweeted
after he signed with Duke.
When I tweeted this morning that Boogie Ellis was on his way, traveling to Memphis for an unofficial visit, I had multiple Duke fans say, that's because Penny was recruiting him the whole time. Shame on him. And I'm like, what?
If you're Duke, like Duke was like, all right, dude, you want to get out? Fine. Like, whatever. You know, like, well, I don't understand why Duke fans are so bent out of shame about it. Like, you know, like, Duke, if the school itself was like, all right, man, so here's what happened. So Boogie tells Duke, they're like, he goes, hey, Trey Jones coming back. Right. I didn't think Trey Jones was coming back. I don't know if this is the right spot for me. You got Cash Daly coming in. I think I want out. Duke says, okay, kid, no problem. Think about it over the weekend, and then if you still want to leave after the weekend's up, let us know. We'll make it happen. That's exactly what happened, and Duke's like, all right, man, good luck. Like, you know, like if so if Duke is willing to let it happen that easily, you know, Duke fans should be all right. Penny was not recruiting Boogie Ellis when he was signed with Duke.
I will tell you this. I'm not acting like I'm best buddies with Mike Krzyzewski, but I know that Duke staff, and they have not suggested to me that anything out of line went down here.
Okay.
Like if Penny had actually done something to get Boogie to decommit, to ask for his release that they thought was out of line, I would have heard about that from the Duke staff.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Because I think you
would have definitely heard about it.
Because I'll tell you when I did hear about it, when Elliot Williams transferred to Memphis.
Yeah. He came back.
The Duke staff did think that Memphis tampered there.
Well, that's because they did.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, I mean, of course they did.
Yeah.
But like the Duke staff. I don't want to say the Duke staff was upset, but they were like, yeah. They recruited him right off of our campus.
It was a difference. You know, I mean, it was a huge difference maker for Josh. And I mean, they won 24 games that year. Yeah. You know, and without Elliot Williams, that would have been a disaster of a season.
That was year one of Pastner, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so that was year
one. 24 games. It was weirdly one of his best years at Memphis.
So Duke was upset, and not enraged, but like Duke was like, you know what happened here. Like Elliot Williams didn't just decide he doesn't want to be at Duke. They've been recruiting him back home.
Well, his mom was sick. That was
we should point that out. The mom was
circumstance.
The mom was sick. That's how he got a waiver to play immediately.
I think she's actually, unfortunately, since passed.
Oh.
I believe that's true. Mm. But the mom was genuinely sick. But
yeah.
I guess I'll bottom line it this way. They did not think Elliot Williams would have left Duke if not for the Memphis staff recruiting him to leave Duke. I have heard nothing like that as it relates to Boogie Ellis asking for a decommitment. And I think that if there was something that went down that they felt was out of line, somebody on that staff would have at least brought it to my attention, and there's been nothing like that. So
this is all above board.
As above board as anything goes,
right?
In high level, high stakes basketball recruiting, yes, it feels like this was all above board. So he's on an unofficial visit now. Do you have a sense for? I think you and I agree he's going to commit to Memphis at some point. Do you have a sense for when that can be?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how long this particular visit is going to last. I mean, you're obviously not flying into Memphis from the West Coast to leave, you know, tomorrow morning. So whether it goes, you know, this is all on their dime. So that's the other thing to keep in mind. Usually official visits last 48 hours. You know, could he leave Saturday morning? I suppose, you know, that's definitely something that is possible. He could stay till Sunday morning. Who the hell knows? It's up to them. But I would sort of the way I see this going is you take the visit, you know, you get reacquainted with everybody. It's been, you know, what, 7-8 months since you were really recruited, you know, by the staff heavily. So you get reacquainted and you look at the facility again and you tour the forum and, you know, you put the uniform on, you take some pictures like you do, and, you know, if everything feels right, which it will, I imagine, you know, they'll have a conversation. Penny and Boogie will have a conversation in his office before they leave. He'll get back to to San Diego, and do one of those Instagram posts, and he'll announce he's coming to Memphis. Like, that's just kind of how I see that going now. Whether that's Sunday or Monday or whenever, you know, that's kind of how I see this one going now.
Talking to John Martin, he's on Twitter at @JohnMartin929. I made the point earlier. I'm a big believer in just like applying common sense where you can apply common sense. It was always my point about the DJ Jeffries commitment. Like, I don't care where people thought he was leaning or even where DJ thought he was going in a moment of frustration for a lack of attention that he thought he was getting from the Memphis staff. You don't decommit from Kentucky to go to Mississippi State. You don't decommit from Kentucky to go to Ole Miss. I said all along, he's going to Memphis. Like, just apply common sense. He's going to Memphis. Same thing here. You don't get released from Duke. Make it clear to people in basketball circles that you want to settle on a school within the next week or so, and then come out of your own pocket for an unofficial visit to go to a place you've already been, unless you are pretty sure that's where you're going. You would subscribe to that, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And I also think that not even just the money, but also the time, you know, that it takes to, you know, to get to Memphis from the West Coast. Yeah. You know, it's not like it's a, you know, I mean, we obviously we have the, you know, the modern marvel of, you know, airplanes and flying, but it's not like it's the easiest thing to get to in the world. So it takes time. It takes time out of this is precious. You know, these are precious days here, and he wants to make a decision. You know, by the end of the signing period, which I believe is next Wednesday. You know, so you've only got so many days to work with, and you know, if you were really trying to see, okay, is Memphis the place I want to go? Well, you've already been to Memphis, so you know exactly what it's like. You were at Memphis Madness. You know the environment. You know the facilities. You know the coaches. You know, if you didn't know, you really wanted to see, was this the right place for me? You'd probably take an unofficial visit somewhere else. You'd probably go somewhere else and kind of compare it and measure it and say, okay, well, do I like this? Do I like that? Instead, he's coming to Memphis, and it just feels like a formality, you know, that this is going to be where he ends up. They need him. You know, he's an elite scorer, you know, good ball handler, you know, can play on and off the ball. They don't have a lot of needs next season, you know, obviously with James Wiseman and the class they've gotten, who they'll also add later. But I do think primary ball handler is one thing that they really need, and I think he addresses that.
They're talking to John Martin from Jason and John, weekdays from 11 to 2. He's on Twitter at John Martin. 929. So I heard you earlier today talking with Jason and also Jeff for a brief period of time, and you guys were debating who is of the players that they're still involved in, who's the most important? Like, who's the one that means the most? And I think you were on the side of Boogie Ellis, right?
Yeah, I said Boogie, yeah.
And I think Jason and Jeff both pushed back on you, but yep. I think I could actually make the case that it would be Boogie Ellis, and here's why. Obviously, R.J. Hampton is a better prospect. You know, he's a five-star guy as opposed to a four-star guy. He's a projected top-10 pick as opposed to something less than that. Precious Achiuwa, same deal. A five-star guy as opposed to a four-star guy. And, you know, a projected top-10 pick as opposed to something less than that. But R.J. Hampton is, you get 1 year of that. Precious Achiuwa, you get 1 year of that. And to be clear, I would prefer Memphis get both of them because it would like set them up to really be in a position to do some incredible things.
Yep.
But what if I told you you can have 1 year of R.J. Hampton or 3 years of Boogie Ellis?
No doubt.
Would you rather have 1 year of Derrick Rose or 3 years of Chris Douglas Roberts? I think 3 years of Chris Douglas Roberts is better than 1 year of Derrick Rose, if only because the third year of Chris Douglas Roberts was better than the 1 year Derrick Rose gave you. And plus, you got two more.
I think you're exactly right. I think that's a great point. I think the interesting part about Penny is that we knew when he got into college basketball coaching that he would kill it in 2019. Like he still sort of had his tentacles on these guys, DJ and James. Like he was still sort of, you know, he was still very much in their orbit, right? Well, now he's not. Like now, 2020 and 2021, like he's not going to be in the immediate orbits of guys anymore. He's still going to get players. He's still going to get really good players. But it's not going to be as easy for him as it was in the class of 2019. So my point is, it's very important to have returning guys. It's very important to have guys on your roster who you can really count on when James leaves, when Precious leaves, because, again, you know, it's going to change. Like, the dynamics are just going to change as we get further and further away from Penny being in the grassroots and being in, you know, being around these guys every day as a high school coach at East. Again, he's going to get players. Don't misconstrue it. But it just will change. So I think it's important to have guys on your roster who are good, really good college basketball players and who can provide experience for you 2 or 3 years down the road.
There's no question. You know, I think getting a – this is, by the way North Carolina went to back-to-back national championship games and won a national championship a couple of years ago. It wasn't by loading up on five stars. It was by loading up on four-star top 75 kids who were going to spend 3 and 4 years in college. Now, listen, yeah. If you can get the R.J. Hamptons and the Precious Achiuwas and the James Wisemans, you want those guys. But there is real value to having a top 50 player that you're going to get for 2 or 3, maybe even 4 years, as opposed to a top 10 player that you're only going to get for one. And I think Lester Quinones and Boogie
exactly.
Ellis can both serve that purpose. But
right.
to your larger point about Penny will run out of these natural connections fairly quickly because the kids he coached will all be in college at one place or another. Like he won't be able to say, I've coached this kid who's a top 75 player in Memphis. I coached him, you know, 2 years ago. Like those connections are going to be gone. But the fact that he has shown the ability to get involved with a Precious Achiuwa, a Lester Quinones, an R.J. Hampton, a Boogie Ellis, doesn't that suggest to you, and this is frankly surprising to me, but doesn't it suggest to you that, I guess when he got hired, some people would ask, the skeptics, they'd say, yeah, but what happens when he runs out of the Team Penny players? What happens when he runs out of the East High players? What's he going to do then? Yeah. I think the answer is just go recruit at a high level all over this country, because I just named you R.J. Hampton, Lester Quinones, Precious Achiuwa, Boogie Ellis. That's four consensus top 50 players with no connections whatsoever to Memphis that he is either considered the leader to get or at the very least seriously involved in. Involved with. That suggests to me there's no reason he can't do that basically every year.
No, you know, I think what it underlines is the importance of who you hire on your staff. You know, you've got to have guys. If maybe you haven't had connections in the past with guys, you know, because frankly, I mean, just to be transparent about it, you know, Lester Quinones, Precious Achiuwa, Boogie Ellis, you know, these are guys who, you know, Mike Miller initiated the relationship. Obviously, you know, Penny is the head coach, and he's recruiting them as well. And in the end, the onus is on him to close that deal. But, you know, these are guys that Mike Miller has relationships with and got Memphis in the door with. And that's why his hire, you know, was raved about the way it was, you know, because it was Penny and it was Mike. And you saw the T-shirts with, you know, Hardaway Miller, like 2020, you know. These are the reasons why it's so important for a head coach to have guys on staff who, you know, it can't just be Penny all the time. It, you know, Penny delivered. You know, Penny got James Wiseman and Malcolm and Damian and DJ. You know, so these are sort of Mike's guys to close on, as well as Trenton was at one time as well. Doesn't look like that's in the cards. Won't matter if they get Precious. But yeah, I think it underlines, you know, when those connections, I won't say run dry, but I mean, they just, you know, things change. You're a college coach now. It's important to have people on your staff who can sort of pick up the slack there.
And Mike has been obviously tremendous. And I think a big reason why is, A, he's just good with people. He's got incredible people skills, which is largely what being a recruiter is. But beyond that, I don't know that Boogie Ellis and Precious Achiuwa and other prospects in high school right now have any real memories of Penny Hardaway.
Right.
Playing in the NBA. They watched Mike Miller. They grew up watching Mike Miller knock down.
I mean, he won two rings, you know.
And they saw that. Like, that's, yeah. you do the, you know, pull out the calendar and, you know, look at how old these guys were when Mike was doing those things. They remember that. And so when Mike Miller is suddenly texting you, I think at the very least, it gets Memphis in the door, because these kids are going to respond and react to Mike Miller. I remember talking to Herm Edwards after he took the Arizona State job, and he said, I said, how much does your, you know, decade or even more of being on television, how much does that help you when it comes to recruiting? He says, it gets me indoors. People will at least take my phone call. People will at least let me come to their home because they've watched me on TV year after year after year after year. I don't have to explain to lots of these people who I am because they feel like they already know me. And I think Mike is in a similar situation. Mike Miller does not have to text a college basketball prospect right now and say, hey, my name's Mike Miller. I'm from the University of Memphis. I used to play. They know who he is, and that's a big advantage.
No, there's no question about it. I mean, and even Sam Mitchell, like Sam Mitchell's on NBA TV, like all the time.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, and it's not, you know, obviously it's to a lesser degree as Mike. You know, like, people don't really remember Sam Mitchell playing, but I mean, listen, he won Coach of the Year. So, you know, these are all the things that we talked about when this staff came together. You know, these are all things that we sort of said, hey, this is why this can work. This is why, even though Penny's never done, you know, this job at this level before, you know, this is why, you know, this staff and the way it's, you know, put together, this is why it can work. And, you know, it wasn't like a question after the early period. It wasn't like, oh man, you know, they got James Wiseman. They closed that deal. They got DJ Jeffries. Like, they had a top 10 class. This, though, you know, this is, I don't think anybody, I mean, the most optimistic of us, I don't think we could have seen them doing what they're doing and being as close as they are in the spring. I mean, on Precious, on Boogie, on Lester, you know, we'll see what happens with Rajon Tucker. I mean, this just feels like a fever dream. And the amazing part about it is that it's actually very reasonable. It's actually, you know, I'd say almost likely that ends up all coming to fruition. So, It's been cool to watch unfold for sure.
That is John Martin. He'll be back in studio tomorrow with Jason and John. That's 11 to 2 here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Thank you there, little buddy. You tell Sam I said hello, and if you bump into Cookie, just tell her I said what's up.
All right, man, you got it. Talk to you later.
I'll see you. Bye-bye. When we come back, Kevin Durant has been diagnosed with a calf strain that is definitely going to keep him out of Game 6 of Warriors-Rockets tomorrow night, and will almost certainly also keep him out of Game 7 if there is a Game 7 on Sunday. So if the Warriors are going to advance to the Western Conference Finals, they are probably going to have to do it without their best player. We'll get into that next.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It feels so good it should cost. Brought an alligator, I ain't talking Lacoste.
Sleeping Z's Mattresses and Furniture by Michael Zauner is not your traditional mattress and furniture store. Their prices are always 50% to 80% off retail stores, so they don't have to have sales. They're already killing the competition. 52 weeks a year, got an A-plus rating, Better Business Bureau. And when readers of the Commercial Appeal were asked to vote for the best mattress store in the area, the winner 4 straight years, Sleepy Z's. But they don't just sell mattresses, also furniture, living room sets, dining room sets, rugs, anything you need to furnish a home, you can probably find it at Sleepy Z's. And if it's not on the floor, know that there's a 42-inch kiosk filled with furniture for you to browse through. Find what you want. They'll get it for you. And remember, mention you heard about them on the Gary Parrish Show when you check it out. That's how you'll save an additional 10% on your purchase. That's at Sleepy Z's Mattresses and Furniture by Michael Zauner. They're located, if you just want to pop in, 2790 Kirby Whitten in Bartlett at the corner of Summer Avenue next door to Hollywood Feet. And if you want to call Mike, you can do that. 901-692-6200. 901-692-6200. They're on the web. SleepyZZZS.com. Jeff Clark is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. 4 notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 notable stories at 444. Story number one.
I assumed Game 5 of the Rockets-Warriors series last night would be as entertaining as the previous four, and it turned out to be that way. Warriors went at 104-99, but that wasn't really the story. The story was Kevin Durant suffering a calf injury that was earlier today diagnosed as a mild calf injury, but he has already been ruled out of Game 6.
Yep.
And he almost certainly will not play in a Game 7 if there is a Game 7. Now, the release from the Warriors doesn't necessarily rule that out if you pay real close attention to the wording, but I think it's reasonable to assume if there is a Game 7, he probably won't play in it. But the way the release concludes, it says Kevin Durant will not travel with the team for Game 6 on Friday in Houston. He'll remain in the Bay Area for treatment. He will be reevaluated next week. So some people I've seen twist that into he'll be reevaluated in a week. But that's not what it says. It says he'll be reevaluated next week. Well, guess what Sunday is?
Next week.
Sunday is technically next week. Yeah. So if he were reevaluated on Sunday morning and they said he could play, well, that would qualify as reevaluating him next week.
Yeah.
But more than likely, if there is a Game 7, it appears that he's just not going to be able to go. And what's wild is that all of this is, relatively speaking, good news. Because when he got hurt last night, it looked like an Achilles injury.
Yeah, it did.
It was a non-contact injury where he looked back as if he had been kicked. And people who have suffered a torn Achilles, that's what they tell you it feels like.
Right.
It feels like somebody just kicked you in the back of your leg.
Yeah.
So when you see somebody have a non-contact injury and they look back as if, whoa, what just happened? It felt like somebody just kicked me. That is usually going to be an Achilles injury. And that's what even Steve Kerr said last night he was fearful of. Like he really might have just watched a guy who was more often than ever being referred to as the best basketball player on the planet go down with an Achilles injury that would end his season.
Ugh.
And perhaps be the thing that prevents the Warriors from winning a third straight championship. And so even though this isn't ideal, a strained right calf,
yeah,
it is much, much better than what it could have been and what it looked like it was.
That was wild to watch in real time because a lot of people started tweeting that immediately about the Achilles, and then it's like the stream of people talking about Achilles injuries on social media.
The one thing I saw that made me think, okay, maybe it's not an Achilles,
right,
was somebody pointed out Durant walked in a way that looked fairly comfortable,
right, right,
back to the locker room.
Yeah.
And if you have a ruptured Achilles, you don't walk like that.
Yeah, you're not just going like that.
The point somebody made was he's walking, yeah, he's hurt,
yeah,
but he's walking too comfortably, mm-hmm, to have a torn Achilles or an Achilles issue.
Right.
And it turns out that that was true. Mm-hmm. They knew pretty quickly it wasn't the Achilles, mm-hmm, it was the calf, and he has a history of calf issues. But even though this is, relatively speaking, good news, what they got last night and what they got today, it still means that they're going to have to eliminate the Houston Rockets probably, mm-hmm, without Kevin Durant playing, which means they're going to need Steph Curry to look like the Steph Curry that he was before Kevin Durant moved to Golden State. And that he still is every once in a while.
Sure.
But undeniably, Steph is not the same impactful player from a scoring and shooting perspective when Kevin Durant's on the court, simply because you can't be when Kevin Durant's on the court because so much stuff is going to be geared toward him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting last night, the breakdown between what Steph was before Kevin got hurt and what Steph was after Kevin got hurt. Before Kevin Durant's injury last night, Steph was 4 of 14 from the field, 1 of 8 from three-point range. He had 9 points. Kevin goes down. He finishes 5 of 9 from the field, 2 of 3 from three-point range, 16 points.
What does that say? He's forcing shots, or he's just able to get them to go down easier or better shots?
Well, I think that specifically is a pretty small sample,
yeah,
size, so I don't know exactly what that says. It could just be like, you know, he made 2 of his last 3 three-point,
right,
attempts and missed 7 of his first 8.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever. It's got no
timing.
Kevin Durant's presence or his absence has,
right,
nothing to do with that. It could just be a small sample size that we're focusing,
sure,
on. But I do think that he changes as a player when,
yeah,
Kevin's on the court because,
absolutely,
he doesn't shoot as often. Like, that's backed up statistically. And he hasn't shot percentages as well either. And I don't know if that's simply because with Kevin, it's harder for him to get into a rhythm because he can't just be when you play with Kevin Durant and,
yeah,
you are the primary ball handler, you are largely responsible for making sure you get the guy who is, you know, perhaps the best scorer in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's your responsibility to get him going. And if you're focused on that,
right,
it can prevent you from getting into a rhythm that allows you to be the Steph Curry that we watch win back-to-back MVPs. But we'll get that Steph Curry in Game 6. And again, if there is a Game 7, probably in Game 7 as well, because the Warriors are going to need him to do that because,
yeah,
they haven't had an easy time beating the Rockets, even though they beat them 3 times in 5 games. Every game's been close and competitive. They've lost 2, they've won 3, but all 5 games have been close and competitive, and that's with Kevin Durant largely on the court. Now they're going to have to at least win one of these next 2 without Kevin Durant on the court, and like I mentioned earlier, it's probably not going to be tomorrow night in the Toyota Center in Houston because they're 7.5-point underdog, and that is the biggest underdog they've ever been in a playoff game under Steve Kerr.
Story number 2.
We talked about it yesterday. I assumed, based on body language, Kyrie's comments after his poor performance in Game 4, that the Bucks were going to make light,
yeah,
work of the Celtics just because it didn't feel like the Celtics had the type of stuff you need from a locker room perspective to go out and try to compete with them, you know, on the,
yeah,
road in an elimination game. And Milwaukee jumped on them pretty early. They were up double digits at the half, and they end up winning 116-91, and Kyrie was awful again. 6 of 21 from the field, 1 of 7 from three-point range, 15 points, a plus-minus of negative 25.
Ugh.
And then afterwards just showed no awareness whatsoever of how big of an issue his play was and also his words have been. And not just in this series, but this entire season. Tim Bontemps, who used to be at the Washington Post,
yeah,
now he's at ESPN, had a nice story on Kyrie just talking about from the jump there were issues here this season. Brad Stevens acknowledged that you know, coming into the season, everybody looked at the Celtics and said, that team went to the Eastern Conference Finals, and now they're adding Kyrie Irving and adding Gordon Hayward.
Right.
That's the favorite in the East. And Brad Stevens said he recognized after two exhibition games, this is going to be a lot tougher than people realize. And though he didn't identify Kyrie specifically, there's a whole lot of stuff there that suggests Kyrie has been a problem all year. His passive-aggressive sub-tweeting, verbal sub-tweets of Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, were at Terry Rozier specifically, the young guards on this team, was a problem. He seemed to side with Marcus Smart. Like, he was always take little subtle shots that the young players recognize. And at one point in the season, Brad Stevens made Marcus Smart the starting two guard next to Kyrie. And afterward, like, Kyrie was just praising Marcus Smart.
Oh, yeah.
And it just did not play well with his teammates. I told you yesterday, I promise you, Kyrie's teammates do not like him and probably don't respect them. And Celtics fans have, in the span of one season, gone from, oh, my God, we cannot lose Kyrie Irving, when he announced in the preseason he's probably going to re-sign. I think he said, I'm going to re-sign long term. They were thrilled. And now, I don't think you could find many Celtics fans who want anything to do with him. Like, he looks like a guy who cannot be your leader. He looks like a guy who can't be your clear number one.
Mm-hmm.
He's not good in the locker room, not good with his teammates. And in this series, he wasn't good on court. And that is a terrible, terrible, terrible combination.
Story number three.
Two more playoff games scheduled for tonight. Both have the ability to be elimination games. It's Raptors at Sixers. That's the first one, 7 o'clock tip. Followed by Nuggets Blazers, and if the Nuggets win, that's it. Blazers are done. Denver is on to the Western Conference Finals. If the Raptors win, that's it. Sixers are done. Raptors are on to the Eastern Conference Finals. And Portland's a 3.5-point favorite at home, so at least oddmakers believe we're going to get a Game 7 between the Nuggets and Blazers. But the Raptors are 2-point favorites on the road in Philadelphia tonight. And what's wild about that is, seems like a million years ago now, but it was really just last week.
2-1.
The Sixers were up 2-1.
Yeah.
And looking like a team that was going to be able to take advantage of a Raptors team that was getting not great stuff from Marc Gasol and terrible stuff from Kyle Lowry. And now the Raptors are up 3-2. Kawhi Leonard looks like he might be actually be the best player on the planet. And they're favored on the road against Joel Embiid and the Sixers. And if they are able to close this out tonight, you know, they'll be headed for a series with the Milwaukee Bucks, which should be tremendous. And then they'll have real questions, you know, in Philadelphia. And I don't know that they'll actually act on any of this stuff, but there is, like, real conversations happening, at least among media people, about, you know, can Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons coexist? Is Ben Simmons the best fit to play with Joel Embiid? If you have to pick one or the other, do you pick the sometimes injured Joel Embiid or the super talented but also undeniably flawed Ben Simmons? I think probably the answer is Embiid. I think probably the answer is you just play with both of them and figure it out. Hope that maybe Joel Embiid doesn't get sick next postseason.
Right.
But either way, that series has flipped dramatically, and it could come to a close tonight.
Story number four.
Frank Vogel is now reportedly interviewing for the L.A. Lakers job after they could not reach a deal with Ty Lue. Incredible story. LeBron clearly wants Ty Lue to be the head coach. They wouldn't offer him a 5-year deal. He wanted a 5-year deal at the rate of what a championship coach gets, should get, because, you know, like it or not, he is a championship coach. He has won a world championship. Probably has more to do with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and Draymond Green being suspended for a playoff game than Ty Lue. But either way, Ty Lue is a championship coach. So he wanted 5 years. The Lakers were unwilling to go more than 3, which lines him up with LeBron's contract. And he just walked away from it. So now they've moved on to other candidates. And what a mess.
Remarkable.
Magic Johnson leaves the franchise, which may or may not be a good thing. Or it might be a good thing, maybe a bad thing. I'll let you decide. But either way, it's an unexpected thing. And now, first they get turned down by Monty Williams. You know, he could have. He was offered their job.
Yeah.
He decides, I'd rather be in Phoenix. Think about that. When did you ever think you'd hear somebody turning down the chance to coach LeBron James and or the Lakers to go coach the Phoenix Suns? But that's what people think of that job right now.
It's incredible, Gary.
That's what people think of that job right now. And so now it's
the damn Los Angeles Lakers. People just can't get it together.
It's unbelievable.
I keep hearing Clippers better run. Woj keeps saying, I heard him this morning. He's like, Clippers are a better organization.
Who would have ever thought that 5 years ago, 10 years ago? It's widely viewed now as a totally dysfunctional place. And so Frank Vogel is interviewing Lionel Hollins now. Former Grizzlies coach was connected to it last night. So we'll see. But the Lakers just out there shopping in the scraps to try to find the next head coach. Poor King James. I don't think this is what he signed up for, but this is what he's getting. Jeff Calkins is up next.